Well, thank you very much to the choir for that beautiful piece, praising God, and good afternoon to all of you. If you would like a title for the sermon today, it's as follows: The Searchers. The Searchers. In 1956, a movie called The Searchers was released in theaters. John Wayne starred in this big screen adaptation of a novel by Alan LeMay, no relation. The movie was directed by John Ford and is generally considered to be one of the finest westerns of all time. The movie tells the story of a Civil War Confederate veteran whose nieces were abducted by Comanche Indians during a raid on the Texas frontier. The veteran, played by John Wayne, organizes a full-scale search to recover his nieces. What most people may not know is that Alan LeMay took the idea for his novel from a true story. The real story involved a group of closely related settlers who left Crawford County, Illinois, in 1833. They made their way to Texas and established a fortified settlement which became known as Fort Parker. However, in 1836, the fort was attacked by hundreds of Comanche and other Indians. Most of the men were killed. Several women and children escaped into the countryside, but two women and three children were captured by the Comanches. James W. Parker, who had been a mile away from the fort when the attack occurred, reached the fort too late to make a difference. He discovered that his father and brothers had been murdered, and that his daughter, grandson, niece, nephew, and sister-in-law had all been abducted by the Comanche raiders. Parker devoted the next 9 years of his life in a search to find and redeem his family members. The search reduced him to a life of personal poverty and destroyed his health. Parker's sister-in-law was located a few months later and redeemed for $150 from a band of Delaware Indians who had purchased her from the Comanche raiders. In 1838, after 2 years in captivity, Parker's daughter Rachel was found and ransomed. She told how she had been abused by her captors. She had been pregnant when kidnapped. But after giving birth, the Comanches complained she was devoting too much of her time to caring for the baby. It was affecting her work. The baby was murdered. Sadly, Rachel died just 1 year after being rescued, shortly after giving birth to another child, which also then died. James W. Parker continued his search for his grandson, niece, and nephew. In 1842, Parker's grandson James was located and ransomed. His nephew John was also located and ransom paid. By 1845, James Parker had accumulated significant debts, suffered from ill health, and his wife convinced him to give up the search for the still-missing niece named Cynthia. But Texas Rangers assured him that they would alert him if any news surfaced. James W. Parker devoted his life to being a searcher. That became his obsession and his occupation. What lessons, as Christians, can we learn from Parker's quest? Well, we know that as Christians, God has redeemed us from the captivity of this world. God has done his part, but now it's up to us to do our part. We must want to be redeemed. We must truly want to remain with God and to become a part of his family. Today we'll look at three ways in which we as Christians must also fulfill the role of searchers. We will see that God himself is also actively involved as a searcher. So the first way in which we are searchers, we must devote ourselves to search for wisdom and understanding. The first step in becoming searchers is to gather as much intelligence as possible to guide our search. By devoting ourselves to gaining wisdom and understanding, we greatly increase the chances of our success in our quest. Let's go to Acts 17. Acts 17. And we'll look at verses 10 and 11. I believe Mr. Fay quoted this passage just a few weeks ago, but the repetition here, I think, is warranted. Acts 17 and verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. The Bereans were searchers. They actively searched the scriptures because they were eager to gain wisdom and understanding in how to lead their lives. Wisdom and understanding of God's word also helps Christians to see and flee sin. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 1. There's much about wisdom and understanding in the Proverbs. Proverbs 2, starting in verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. So if we are searchers and we need to find the right path, we need to know where to go. God is the one who's going to show us that path for us as searchers. And he promises to reward those who search for wisdom and understanding of his ways. Let's go to Psalm 27, please. Psalm 27. And we'll start here in verse 4. Psalm 27. This is a psalm of David. And David certainly understood the importance of being a searcher in the ways of God. Psalm 27 and verse 4. David writes, or probably sang, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." So the value, among many values, but one great value of being in the presence of God is to be able to inquire of God. "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in the smooth path because of my enemies. So again, wisdom, gaining wisdom, gaining understanding has something to do with finding and following the right path or trail. Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. If you have a chance to read the entire psalm at a later time, you'll be reminded that the entire psalm applies to this context. We're only going to look at verses 1 through 12 today. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all of your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. So once we begin to gain wisdom and understanding of God's laws and ways, we must then search ourselves in order to find and eliminate ungodly thoughts and behaviors in our own lives. So the second way that we are searchers is that we must devote ourselves to the search for sins that separate us from God. We must devote ourselves to the search for sins that separate us from God. And that certainly applies especially as we are so close to the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Let's go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. And we'll be reading from verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 55. As we know, ancient Israel and Judah strayed from the path of God's commandments on multiple occasions. And God had to send various prophets to remind them of the covenant and what they should be doing, that they should be seeking the true God and living lives according to God's ways. God sent the following warning through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see, when we walk down the wrong path, we end up in the wilderness. And in fact, as we know, we end up as captives to Satan and Satan's world. But we are called to return to the Lord, to leave that captivity, to come back, to be redeemed. And then God will pardon us if we truly seek him and seek to serve him. We can only forsake unrighteousness if we are looking actively for it within ourselves, and we truly wish to eliminate it from our lives. Let's go to the New Testament, to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Paul is writing here, and his appeal is for Christians to examine their own works and to eliminate those behaviors that are contrary to God's laws. Galatians 6, we'll start in verse 3. A gentle reminder to the Galatians. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now let's keep your place here in the New Testament. I'm going to read three verses from the book of Lamentations. And if you don't trust me, you can check up later. I promise not to diverge from them. But I'm going to be reading from Lamentations 3, 39 to 41. Lamentations 3, 39. Why should a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. So why do we complain when our sins are punished? Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Turning back is to repent. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. Those are two different things. Lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. Searching for sins in our own life allows us to approach God with greater confidence. But notice that approaching God is first from the heart and then from the hands. Physical expression of praise is meaningless unless it is guided by a converted heart and a willing mind. Let's go to Colossians 3, since you stayed in the New Testament. Colossians 3, and we'll start in verse 1. Colossians chapter 3. We are constantly reminded through the Scriptures that our mind must be on things above. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11:27. 1 Corinthians 11. At this time of the year, as Passover and the days of unleavened bread are approaching, we really should be earning the title, the searchers. Not only are we searching for leaven in our cupboards, but also in our hearts. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27. Again, a passage that we've been hearing and will be hearing through the Passover and season of unleavened bread. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood or body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, if we search ourselves first, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Brethren, after we have begun our search for wisdom and understanding, and after we have searched for sins to eliminate from our lives, we are now able to focus intently on our ultimate task as searchers, the search for God and His kingdom, seeking to better understand the nature of God and the future that He has in store for His people. So the third way in which we as Christians are to be the searchers is to search for God and His kingdom. Let's go to Matthew 6, verse 31. Matthew 6, 31. Again, a familiar passage. I don't think I have any scriptural surprises today, but it's important to review these passages. Matthew 6, 31. Jesus states, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." That's a search, brethren. Searching for the kingdom of God requires effort, diligence, vigilance, blood, sweat, and tears. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 4. God had been warning His people for a long, long time that they need to seek Him first. God gave this warning to the ancient Israelites. But as we know, most of Jacob's descendants did not heed that warning. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 24. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 24. "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. When you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land and act corruptly, and make a carved image in the form of anything, and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke Him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey His voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God, then He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which He swore to them." So we see here virtually the same warning being relayed through the prophet Jeremiah to ancient Judah. If we'll turn to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. This same warning is going to come down through the centuries to God's people. Jeremiah 29. The Jews of Jerusalem were going into captivity to the Babylonians. They were to become captives. And God here is communicating through Jeremiah, explaining to them that this captivity would not be permanent. Let's go to verse 8, Jeremiah 29 and verse 8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, said the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And verse 13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. We are all captives. The whole world is captive. But God has called us out. He has redeemed us. Are we grateful that he has called us out first? Let's go to Psalm 105. And we'll look at verses 1 through 4. Psalm 105. O give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Forevermore means forevermore. Not just in this body, but once you seek the Lord, you will still be seeking the Lord, even after we are resurrected. It will still be uppermost in our mind, searching for God, for his ways, for understanding who and what God is. So we've now looked at three ways in which we as Christians are to be searchers. But we must remember that while we're searching for wisdom, searching for sins to eliminate, and searching for God and his kingdom, God himself is involved in a search of his own. In fact, God is the chief searcher. Let's go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Where is God conducting his search? Look around you, within our hearts and minds. Psalm 139, verse 1, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it. all together. God is searching us. He's looking for his children in us, children to be redeemed, children who have been redeemed, but have not yet inherited the kingdom. Let's also turn to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 through 10. Again, another familiar passage for most of us. But God wants to make clear to his people that he is watching, that he is concerned, that he is searching us. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord. Usually we stop after verse 9. Who can know it? Well, the next verse tells us, I, the Lord. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Let's go to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. God wants to redeem us because he wants to spend eternity with us. He wants to know that he can trust us. He wants to know that we have proper respect for him and for his ways, and that we will not abandon him. Ezekiel 34, and we'll look at verses 8 through 12. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. God is the searcher who's looking for his sheep. Let's go to Matthew 18 and verse 11. Matthew 18. James W. Parker spent 9 years of his life searching for his family members who had been lost. Christ has been searching a lot longer than that. Matthew 18, verse 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek that one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Now let's move to Luke 15 and finish up the story there. A parallel account in Luke. Luke 15 and verse 5. Luke 15. Again, still referring to that lost sheep. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Brethren, all of Adam's children have gone astray. God, together with his Son, is in the process of redeeming them from their captivity to Satan and his world. God is searching for his human family to free them from their captor. We are extremely blessed that he has found and redeemed us first. Now, you may be wondering, did James W. Parker ever find his niece? Her name was Cynthia. Yes, he did. But the real life ending is sadder than the movie version and serves as a cautionary tale for us. Sadly, though his nephew John had been rescued in 1842, John had great difficulty reintegrating into white society. He ran away and returned to live with his abductors, the Comanches. Parker's niece, Cynthia, was rescued in 1860 by the Texas Rangers. During her 24 years in captivity, she had become the wife of a Comanche chief by whom she had given birth to 3 children. Cynthia, though rescued, had no desire to return to white society. She cut her hair short in mourning for being separated from the Comanche, whom she now regarded as her real family. She made unsuccessful attempts to escape back to live with the Comanche. James W. Parker died 4 years later, in 1864. With the exception of his nephew, who had returned to the Comanche, Parker believed that his lifetime of searching to rescue his family had been successful. But 6 years later, in 1870, at just 43 years old, his niece, Cynthia, starved herself to death. Cynthia's body had been redeemed 10 years earlier, but her heart and mind had never been liberated from the world of her captors. And so the fate of Cynthia and her brother John must serve as a cautionary tale for us. Christ has redeemed us from this world and its sins, but we must want to be liberated. If we secretly desire to return to that captivity from which we were freed, then our redemption is not sincere. We need to be sure we are sincere in our desire for Christ's redemption. Let's conclude today by reading Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. We have seen today that we must all be searchers. We must dedicate ourselves to searching for wisdom and understanding. We must dedicate ourselves to searching for sins that separate us from God in order to overcome them. And we must dedicate ourselves to searching relentlessly for God and his kingdom. Psalm 139, verse 23. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting."